So now we're going to have Jamie and the Jamie show. We're going to have the Waco Central Texas Intergroup is the correct name, right? Central Texas Intergroup is going to give us a short presentation of what they do, how they serve groups, and how we can serve them also. So it's up to you guys now.
Thank y'all for your time.
And steal that from me.
Sure. Very briefly, what I'm going to do is give you just a short history of how Intergroup came about. Back in, I think it was 1982, my current sponsor was involved in it. And I think it was Alcohol Council on Alcoholism had been given money from the state, I guess, to man a 24-hour hotline for alcoholics that call in needing help, and they did so for a short period of time, I think, and then finally one day the director approached my current sponsor and said, look, said we can't do this any longer, we need y'all to, the groups to take this. And so they did, and I remember Richard telling me that they visited several of the guys that were involved in this startup, visited Dallas and Fort Worth and different groups trying to figure out how to do a charter and how to get started, and they spent a lot of time and effort in trying to do the, you know, do it right. And they got it formed, got it started, and went through several years of making mistakes, and but they always were able to answer that phone 24 hours. And through the year, that's the main thing that Intergroup, not the only thing, but the main thing that we try to do is to have that phone line open so that people in the area calling in can find a meeting or can find someone to talk to if they're in need of help. I'm going to read you the bylaws of Central Texas. I'm not going to bore you with all the detail, but there's some things in here that will explain a lot better than I can tell you. And it says, preamble, in all its proceedings, Intergroup shall observe the spirit of AA tradition, taking great care that it never becomes the seat of perilous wealth or power, that sufficient operating funds plus ample reserve be its prudent financial principle, that none of its members shall ever be placed in a position of unqualified authority over any of the others, that all important decisions be reached by discussion, vote, and whenever possible by substantial unanimity, and will always remain democratic in thought and action. And that's the preamble. The name and purpose, Central Texas Intergroup is the name. Purpose of Intergroup shall be to maintain an Intergroup office for cooperation with, but not an affiliate of, the Alcoholics Anonymous groups in Central Texas area. The Intergroup is a vehicle whereby AA groups and individual members may carry the message to alcoholics within the guidelines established in the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. The Intergroup office is to be maintained for the benefit of any alcoholic seeking help. Its objective is to transmit or refer requests to help to AA group members nearest the address of the caller, thus providing the opportunity for AA members to do 12-step work so vital to continued sobriety. The Intergroup shall aid new groups to become established and will provide assistance for their growth. It shall disseminate information and suggestions from the AA General Service Office and answer inquiries about the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. The activities stated herein are not intended to limit the scope of the services that may be required from time to time by Intergroup, but shall include 1. Establishing committees necessary to do the work of Intergroup, 2. Providing local AA meeting lists, 3. Providing a newsletter about local events, 4. Ordering, selling, distributing AA conference approved literature or such other literature as recommended by the Board of Trustees, 5. Maintaining an outreach program to participating groups, 6. Sponsoring fellowship and fundraising events, 7. Maintain an Intergroup phone hotline 24/7 for information and referrals. Now this is membership. Membership of Intergroup shall consist of each existing AA group, Meridian group, or any future AA group in the Central Texas area that desires to participate according to the dictates of its group conscience. So y'all are the ones that will decide if y'all want to participate in any group. And we welcome you if you want to, and you are, so y'all decided. Each participating group shall have one vote at intergroup meetings. The group representative shall cast that vote. The alternate representative may cast the vote in the absence of the group representative. You've got intergroup sitting up here. Then you've got over here Board of Trustees. There's five trustees. There's a separation of powers. In the past, it's been mingled with. But the intergroup, the reps through the groups run intergroup. The trustees run the business of intergroup. We run the office and the business, the general business, the day-to-day decisions about business. We also act, and Lee is a trustee. I'm sorry, I should have introduced Lee. Lee's a trustee, and we also act in an advisory capacity. In other words, since we're in the business end and we're doing the finances and everything, if we go into a meeting of the reps, and we do have to have two trustees at every rep meeting, and we see that they're going to make a decision that financially might not be the right decision, we can recommend to them an alternate route, or we can recommend that they think about it, or whatever it is, to try to guide them a certain direction. They will make the decision. But they will come back to your group conscience first and discuss these matters with y'all and see if y'all have any input in it. Because, you know, to have four or five people making the decisions for that organization when we can have 155 people making this, it's a lot better. We can get more input, and y'all can work this out in your group conscience and tell your rep to go back and vote yay or nay. And so y'all are the ones that have that one vote. And power is spread out down at the group level. So when y'all, when your rep comes in and tells you there's a little controversy going on, y'all need to take it to heart as to what direction that you want intergroup to go, keeping in mind that you have the one vote. I will stress, do y'all have an alternate? Okay. That's good. And this is kind of new in the last 2 years. And the reason we got that alternate in there was we were having a problem with participation. And what I was seeing is that everybody in the room was saying, well, we don't know what to do. And first thing you do is you pick up and read this. It tells you exactly what to do. But after that, then I noticed that a lot of people would just get pushed in these positions and not know what to do. And nobody was guiding them, trying to help them. And so I decided in one of the meetings that we need to discuss an alternate situation where you have two people going. One's voting, the rep's voting. If he's sick or something, then the alternate can go in his place and vote. And while he's going, he's up to date on everything that's going on, and y'all are the ones that tell him how to vote. So that helps participation. It helps train that alternate to come into the rep position after the rep leaves. And plus it gives us a little bit more involvement. So the alternate is important too, to attend those meetings and understand what's going on. And if the rep can't bring it back, well, then the alternate can. Our meetings are held on the same day, have been for the last 10 years. It's on the third Monday of each month. The trustee meetings are on the second Monday. And we carry our minutes to that meeting and read our minutes, and the financials are read. And at that time, if there's a problem with the financials or if there's any questions, the representatives can initiate that question. And if we don't have any answers to it, right then there, we'll get the answer. But it's all out in the open. I mean, you should know everything that's going on at intergroup. If you so choose, just ask your rep, and they should know. And if they don't, well, then all they have to do to ask and get an answer on it. The elections are held. Mexican food, boy, it's tasting good the second time too. November, we have elections. This group is a wonderful group, and it's got some good sobriety, and I hope that we can get somebody to consider a trusteeship. We elect staggered terms on trustees. The terms last 2 years, and it's pretty important, but that's something that y'all can consider if y'all do want a trustee. You're only allowed to have two trustees from one group, so that no one group can gain more power in the trusteeship, and only one rep from each group, one vote. I could go through the duties, that's boring. Financing. While realizing there are no fees or dues in AA, we must recognize that it is the objectives and purposes of the intergroup to be served and carry out of the intergroup are to be served and carry out, but it must be self-supporting. The support must necessarily be derived through the generosity and voluntary contributions of area groups and by pledges, gifts, and contributions of members of AA. Also, projects or activities as may be authorized from time to time with Board of Trustees or the resolution of the participating intergroup reps, all in the spirit of the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous and GSO guidelines of intergroup. Now, occasionally, in the beginning, when they started this thing, Richard went to the groups and had a meeting, had representatives from all the groups, and said, you know, we're going to have this phone, and we need money. And Richard said that, I mean, they just start writing checks, triangle, 500, 500 here. And back in 82, you know, they carried intergroup. And after about a year, Richard said they had so much money that they thought they'd try to give some of it back. And so they had a function at the Redwood Shelter in 82 or 83. And I remember going to that 2 or 3 years in sobriety. And his whole purpose is to gather the groups and bring them in for camaraderie and fellowship, get a good speaker, got a speaker out of Dallas, have a good time. They set up a volleyball net, and we spent the day out at Cameron Park, had a wonderful time. I can remember, you know, I was going through this phase of what do you do after you quit drinking, you know? Where do you have fun? And we went out there, and I'm telling you, that just set the ball rolling for me. We had a blast out there, we really did. And couldn't wait till the next one. Couldn't wait till the next one. Richard said they made more money at that. You know, they gave it away, and then they made so much that they didn't know what to do. And we're not in the business of acquiring wealth. You heard me read that. We've got, right now, I think we've got $11,000, $12,000, something like that. We've got, and I'm sorry I didn't bring the financial policy in it. I don't want to bore you with it, but in general, what the financial policy does is to try to protect our money by dividing that money after it gets to a certain amount, putting some of it over here with different signatures, three in the CD. And then the operating account holds enough money in it to operate month to month. Because some months we end up in the hole, some months we end up making some money. But that's what that's about, is to try to separate that money and keep it in two different accounts. Because, I don't know, I've been around for a long time, and I've seen that money disappear just quicker than you can imagine. And I mean in some very creative ways too. So we've got the money set up where it's in two different accounts. We're doing good, and since I'm in at this time, we've managed to start, well, we didn't do this on purpose, but the donations cut down, way down. So our income went down. But our operating expenses went down too. We at that particular time there was a paid employee getting X amount of dollars, and we went into a volunteer state, so that cut that out. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring our revenue and expenses as close as possible. And by one of the things that we're trying to do is we're trying to give back some of this money and reduce charges for different items that we sell. It's not easy to do that. But we're in the process right now of trying to figure out where we can do that. Big Books right now, we're getting only about a dollar and a quarter profit. and we try to keep those as cheap as we can to get that big book to the newcomer. But there's some other things that we're selling that we're looking at, and we're going to try to see if we can't reduce prices on them. We have to maintain a level, though, because you don't want to have to be running to the groups every time and saying, you know, we're broke again. But we went through a phase of that about 8 years ago, and they went broke twice. And a guy that was in there had been there 6 years, and I won't go into that, but we're trying to prevent that from happening. And that financial policy was passed in 2004, and just about 4 years ago, we started following that policy. So for 3 years, the money was just laying in one account. And we probably maintained this year, I think. You know, one of the trustees told me a couple of months ago, we're losing money. And I said, where are we losing money? Well, look at last month. We lost $300. I said, where are we losing money? Show me. Because 1 month doesn't show that you're losing money. And so I got worried about it and went back a year. And sure enough, some of the months we were losing a little money, and then some of the months we'd make money. What happened is, sometimes when you pay bills in 1 month and not the next, you'll double pay bills in 1 month, and then maybe your donations. I know Turning Point's real bad about sometimes putting two monthly donations in 1 month. So if that happens, then you lose a lot of money, or it appears that you lose a lot of money. And right now, I bet you we're just about making, you know, close to $100 cash flow each month.
Last month we made a little over $400.
Yeah, but on an average, if you spread it out over 12 months, we're probably about $100, $150. And that's a good place to be. That way we're giving y'all a fair shake, and we're maintaining our business. As long as we can keep it in that position, we're okay. This fund that we have in the CD, it was an emergency fund. If the building burned down and we lost our computer and lost our files and everything, we would take that money out, which right now there's $6,000 in it, and we would buy a new computer and we'd set up the office again. The operating fund right now has approximately $5,000 in it, and I think that's a little bit more than what we need. But I think this function coming up is going to help us in that respect. But we need about $2,700 a month cash flow, because we buy literature, we pay rent, and we're paying that guy in the office $50 a week, and we pay a phone bill, internet, a few other things. But we're fine-tuning this, and I want you to know that we're taking great effort to take care of the money that's there, and not to abuse it, not to misspend it. But also keep in mind that we're not supposed to gather a lot of wealth either. So that's pretty it in a nutshell. We have a quorum that at our rep meetings we have to have five reps and two trustees to form a quorum. And there was a period around Christmas time when we were having a very difficult time of doing that. Now, this last meeting that I went to, I was telling Gary before the meeting, I felt so at ease, because it seemed like everybody in the room felt at ease. Some people that hadn't shared in the last 2 years were bringing up ideas and getting involved. So there have been a lot of negative things going on, and I think we're past that. We've got some wonderful people working in there now. We've got a good chairperson. We've got David on the internet. We've got five trustees that are showing up for the meetings, and we're getting a quorum at all the rep meetings in the last couple of months. Things are operating pretty smooth. Do you have any questions, or did I go too fast? Did you understand how the concept's working? Y'all run Intergroup. Y'all are the ones that do it, and you do it through your rep. And any one of y'all is welcome at those meetings. From time to time, we have guests that come in.
Tell everybody what all you sell there and y'all come.
All of it? Well, we sell a lot of literature from GSO, but we also sell Hazleton, and we also sell Al-Anon, and I think our Al-Anon is starting to have more Al-Anon material than we used to. I don't think we're selling any NA material. We have chips, your monthly chips that you get, your yearly chips. There's a few trinkets. We don't carry much in that line anymore. We got some of these little cards that you can put in your wallet or your purse with different things, the Serenity Prayer and stuff like that. But and then if you want to buy something, we've got catalogs that you can buy through. And I mean, if you want to buy something special, they got some beautiful chips down there that have inlay, and they're absolutely beautiful. They cost $13, and you can put whatever, 1, 2, 5, 10 year, and it takes us about 2 weeks to get them. The only thing that we ask, we've got a policy about special order. It has to be paid for ahead of time. We ran the other way, and I mean, everybody wanted to put the 13-year chip, and they got drunk the next week and didn't come in and pay for it. So we ended up with a bunch of chips and stuff. So if you have anything that you want that's special, she'll get you a price and write you an invoice out. And then she'll order it and call you when it's in, and you can come by and pick it up, or we'll try to get it to you. The other thing is that 2 years ago, we changed the personnel. Again, I told you we went from a paid employee to volunteers. And we're kind of back to a volunteer paid employee. Now, we're not paying Kathy half as much as what we were paying the other employee, but we closed the office down on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And what we found out, we were only writing 33 invoices a month. And we can write 33 invoices in 3 days a week, just as easy as we can in 5. And the only thing that y'all have to do is get used to the fact that we're not there on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And that we are there, I think it's from 10 to 2 on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And then, you know me, and you know a bunch of the people that are down there, if you need something, you're in a clutch situation, even if it's on a weekend, we will try to accommodate you, especially if you're out of town, you know, if there's something we can do. Can't guarantee that we can do it every time. But, I mean, if you needed chips, and Gary called me and said, we need a 10-year chip, can you have me one on Saturday? And you know, I'll go down there, or I'll call Kathy or somebody, go down and try to accommodate you. I mean, we do that as often as we possibly can, so don't be bashful about asking us to do that. Try to do it during the week if you can, but if you can't, we'll work with you on it. You know, intergroup, the thing that I told you that third year got me hooked, that little function they had. Well, in years after that, I started going to not just intergroup, but different functions that groups would have. And what I noticed is at intergroup, it draws in people from all the groups. And I was noticing that I was seeing people, older people, that I hadn't seen in a long time that were coming to the intergroup functions. And I was able to sit down and talk with them because I may not see them again. And I thought this is a intergroup is a great avenue to push these people together in their functions. And we try to make every function. I know we did have a function here a while back that was not exactly family oriented, and I apologize for that, whatever part I had in sitting on the sideline. But we had to let those girls and youngsters go. We had to let them do their thing, and that's what they wanted to do. And I was tickled to death that somebody stood up there and said, we'll do this. So I wasn't about to say, you can't do this. But we tried to have all these functions family-friendly. This one coming up is centered around the family. Hammer Park Clubhouse, if you hadn't been there, it's a beautiful setting. It's got a beautiful lawn. There's a playground at the end of it. The house is air-conditioned. There's plenty of room in there for whatever you want to do as far as having a speaker and an eating meeting and so on and so forth. So we want families to enjoy this. You know, some of these kids in some of these instances, they don't get to do this very often. So we want them to be able to enjoy it too. And I think that makes it just one big AA family. And that's one thing that I've noticed about intergroup is trying to pull people together and unify. Now, I will say that we've had difficulty in the last year, but let's get together and make this thing like it was before and get people unified. And if y'all don't have any other questions, I'll gladly sit down and let y'all go home.
Jamie.
Thank you.